Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I'm glad you can tune in once again and catch up on some real estate news and perhaps some opportunities. Just depends on how much time we have. Just a reminder that just because you're tuned in today or next week or last week or whenever it is that you hear the sound of our voices or see us on a website, etc., that does not make you one of our clients, and you should not run out and try any of the strategies or tax rules, etc., that you thought you heard without first checking with your own current advisors who are aware of your own current facts and circumstances to make sure that those rules or strategies or whatever it is you thought you heard are something that pertain to you and your family's situation. And for those of you that may not have current advisors, you're more than welcome to go to our BEAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPlanner.com. And top right corner, you'll see a forms link. That's not length, that's link, where you can enter your assorted financial details that will let us have an insight or two into your current facts and circumstances. And then right next to it is a call link, and you are more than welcome to go schedule a call where either I or Dan and myself will both be happy to spend some time on the phone with you to explain how we think we may be able to help you achieve your goals and objectives. And in any event, if you've filled out some forms recently, occasionally I get a set of forms in. Just this past week I had a couple of them where then there was no request for a call. So if that applies to you, please go back and click that call link at the top right of BEAPlanner.com and select a time at your convenience for that call. If you want to get a question in to me today while we're on the air, feel free to shoot a text to 713-581-0195, and if it's relevant, I may try to field it real time. If it's not, I'll definitely get back to you over the next several days. And you could also call that number and leave a voicemail, whatever's your preference. Let's turn to the news, as we do at this point in the show. And today we've got a lot of news. I'll probably have to knock a few of these off the list, but at least they're out there. We might want to pivot back to them in the future. And one of the first things that I want to talk about, because it's part and parcel to other tax planning that you may already be taking a look at here as we approach year end, is that there are parts of the TCJA, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, if memory serves. It's what that stands for, the 2017, also known as the Trump Tax Act, that are soon to expire. And we've talked about this multiple times on the air, that if Congress does not take action to extend, that come 1-1-2026, and that'll be here before you know it, trust me, at least when you get my age, it seems like the years just fly by. But in any event, it won't be long, and you'll be looking at assorted changes. And the article that I have out on the resources section of the BeAPlannerShow.com, that's our companion site, and we put assorted news articles and now videos. I've added a video link to the resources navigation, and don't have many videos in it, but there's more to come, and it's just another medium to help us learn. And boy, is YouTube a unbelievable library of learning. And I've got a couple doozies out there, and on the resources link under news, I have a video of the week slot at the top that I'll continue to populate, and then I'll move that video over, or it'll also be found on the video link, so you can't miss it as long as you go to the resources page. But I guess the big news on TCJA, I think, and it's going to affect planning certainly to a large extent, are that the brackets are going to go back to what they were, the different spots that they change. And, you know, if you may recall, the TCJA provided additional brackets, which effectively reduce most of the seven individual tax rates, so that you know, there's a widening of the brackets, and along with doubling the standard deduction, they combine to give most folks an average, a lower average tax bill than we had just previously to 112018, I believe, is when those bracket changes kicked in. But there's a nice chart on that page that shows the average income tax rate in 2017 versus the average income tax rate in 2019. And as you can see, the average rate was higher in almost every income class or income group, I think is what they're calling it on that chart. So if you want to get a little bit of motivation perhaps to address the planning task at hand, I would tell you that it's not too late to start, depending on the types of income streams you have, because the rates are going to go back up. And even if it's only 1 or 2%, it's still something you can get out ahead of and keep the money in your pocket, unless you don't care. And then if that's the case, well, great. Why don't you go ahead and contribute even more money to help us reduce the deficit, which is the other highlight that I have this week. If you look at the video of the week, you're going to see one of the most clueless faces I think that's ever been in Washington, D.C., aside from perhaps our current president, Janet Yellen, our current Secretary of the Treasury. Historically, she was head of the Federal Reserve at one time. I watch the video, and if you do nothing more, you can turn the sound off and just watch the video. And I would tell you that John Kennedy, Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, is being all too kind in putting up with the cluelessness nature of one of the top-ranking government administrators. It's just it's crazy, and you know, she's struggling to admit that their 2024 budget proposal adds another $500 billion, which that's no surprise, but it seems to be to her. Okay, she's not quite sure until she looks at her paperwork, and then she grudgingly admits to it. But you would think Secretary of the Treasury would have those numbers near and dear to her heart, but she claims that that's not the case. But in any event, if we go momentarily and take a look at the U.S. debt clock at usdebtclock.org, which, as you know, I'm always interested in doing, the national debt is now up to $33,898,000, almost $899,000. Give it another week, I believe, at the rate we progress. Well, maybe 2 weeks it'll take. I think we're clocking in at, I think it's $6 to $8 billion a week. No, I'm sorry, that's per day. So if you add another, I don't know, call it $40 billion, you won't quite be there in a week, but we should be at the $800 level this time next week. We'll check in and see how close we get, but it's just insanity, absolute insanity. The interest on the debt will be at the $1 trillion mark this year, just the interest alone. And if you go out a number of years, let's say go out to 2032, it's just unbelievable where we end up. And let's see, there was a video that I did not put that video up. I'll try to do it before Sunday show, but there's a video with Joe Manchin. I think it just went up today, talking about how that the Inflation Reduction Act is not being executed the way that Congress intended and the way that the text of the act calls for. And he's calling out the Biden administration, which, you know, Manchin's not exactly as pure as the driven snow in his own right. And I'm sure while he truly does realize that the Biden administration is not executing the Inflation Reduction Act in accordance with Congress wishes, he's also eyeballing an independent run for president. So take that in context as you read or as you view that video. Let's see. I've got an article on, while we're in the tax realm, let's take a look at why more, that's M-O-O-R-E, versus the U.S. won't get us a consumption tax base. And I'm just going to stay at a very high level. This case has been circulating for a while. The Supreme Court, I believe, had the arguments this week, I believe it was. And you know, the gist of the case was the Moores, it's a couple, were being taxed on income that had been earned by a company that I think they controlled, but they had not taken distributions. And it kind of went against, I don't know, hundreds of years of historical norms, or several hundred, that we Americans don't pay tax until we've realized the income. And in any event, the IRS is arguing that the income from an international venture these folks held may not have been realized, but again, they controlled it, and so they could have. And yet, it does step over some lines in the historical tax code that make you realize, boy, if this doesn't get turned around, this case at the Supreme Court level, as more than a few pundits are saying, the IRS can pretty much decide to tax us on anything, essentially within our domain of investment. And there's arguments that are being allowed, or so it appears, I guess at lower court levels, that allow them to reach in or reach out there and pull income into a taxable year that doesn't, you know, seem to fit the pattern that our rules have always been predicated on. But more importantly, you know, the timing problems that come with income tax illustrated or have illustrated the virtues of a system tied to consumption. You know, there's been assorted proposals, nothing that's gotten seriously far enough along that, you know, if we just simply taxed what those of us actually consume at even a 10% level on investment, I guess it would be whatever we invest plus whatever we consume, and maybe a 20% income tax, we could show you know, more tax collections than we would under the current system. And I've always questioned how correct those assumptions are, because I tell you, I, as much as I would like to see a fairer, simpler tax code, I don't really have a good way to tell you how to get there, and I don't know many people that do, and I think there's some major gaps in most of the proposals that I've seen in my lifetime. And, and you know, I can remember back when I first started as a CPA back in the 80s, you couldn't even get people to talk about these types of systems, and now they debate the merits of assorted different approaches. So I guess you could say we're much closer to the inevitability, but if this case goes through, I think we could pretty much kiss goodbye the concept of a consumption tax, and we would wish we could get to a consumption tax instead of what is probably going to happen here. But in any event, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we will come back and talk more news, specifically more deficit news. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like with big dreams and faded jeans. Big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And before we talk more about the U.S. deficit, I wanted to mention a couple real estate-related articles. There was an article that came out today out on the GlobeStreet.com site that caught my eye, and I have no idea of what the likelihood is of this passing, but apparently there's two bills that are sponsored by Democrats that are described in the article as being unlikely that either would pass with the Republican-controlled House. However, it's worth noting that what I've been hearing from realtors has made its way into Congress, at least, which is that realtors have complained now for several years that there's no houses to sell because the corporate crowd, private equity, has bought such significant chunks of the homes that would otherwise be available for Mr. and Ms. homeowner, and they're executing single-family rentals. And you know, if these proposals were to see passage, it would, I don't know if it would eliminate, but it would certainly undercut institutional investment in SFRs or single-family rentals by reducing tax deductions, and I'm sure there's assorted other provisions that would work to make those acquisitions less attractive. And obviously, the supply and demand has been affected mightily in the single-family market and many markets. So, in any event, and then at the same time, there's another article that came out this week. Let's see when. Well, I take it back. I didn't put that one up, but anyway, I'll go ahead and mention it. That the build-to-rent class of could be single-family, could be townhomes. I guess but both of those would be single-family. But the build-to-rent construction that's really taken off and is very popular amongst the private equity groups, that is definitely well on its way to being institutionalized. And that's probably a little bit different of an asset class in that, you know, single family properties tend to be less homogeneous. You know, when you look at the developments, you know, the homes have a little bit different character perhaps, whereas the build to rent class, you know, it's like townhomes or, you know, courtyard-type homes where the homes literally look the same. It kind of, you know, reminds you of what you might see with, I think back to the, I believe it was the movie Jim Carrey was in, The Truman Show, where, you know, it was a little bit, just had a fake look to it. And I don't want to make it sound like these developments are fake, but I'll just say that there's a lot of you know, it's a homogeneous look when you look at them, and you sense something's different But, you know, they're built with the tenant in mind. And, you know, in some respects, that's got some positives. And I, without getting into that asset class, I'll just tell you that in the investor crowd, particularly the private equity groups, the corporate buyers, they've been a hit. And they're typically a bit faster to build. I won't say the cost is any less. I noticed there was one project that we took a look at, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. I believe it was a Dallas area project. And their cost, and it was a new build, you know, from the utilities on up, I believe, in terms of carving out the acreage. And it had a all-in cost, and I believe it was $470,000 or $80,000 a unit, which, you know, my comment at the time was you can buy a heck of a nice apartment unit at that $450,000 on up range. And so that's a lot of money to put out there, but it gives you control over creating perhaps a more consistent and attractive rental community, although time will tell what those communities look like the longer they go. Okay, let's pivot back. I started to talk about deficit. I was going to pull up my U.S. debt clock again. It's still worrying, just whirling away, real-time calculations. And I just, you know, the clock being real-time adds a certain reality that perhaps if you were just reading about these numbers in a vacuum, really strike home. And you know, the debt per citizen now is over the $100,000 mark. That's per citizen, not per taxpayer. The debt per taxpayer is at $259,949, and that's just the 33 point almost 9 trillion that we acknowledge. And so you know, if you were to add on the additional 100 plus trillion of obligations, this would be what's referred to as the unfunded liability, which that's also shown. The total of that number is 103 trillion plus, I believe, the 33 point almost 9 trillion. So you're looking at you know, somewhere approaching 150 trillion when you look at what the real national debt is. You know, just because we haven't counted it in our government balance sheet doesn't change the fact that we've already agreed to the provisions. Yes, we can still change them, and that's what Congress maintains is why we don't include that on our national balance sheet, is that, hey, we can adjust the Social Security retirement age, we can adjust the indexing that takes place. All of that is within our control, and we're not locked in. And so, therefore, we don't consider that in the total debt. We simply are going to focus, as if it's not bad enough, we're simply going to cop to the 33.9 trillion dollar deficit. By the way, we've talked about this before. I'll just mention it again. It's always interesting to see what the major makeup is. And I see people talk about how, well, we just need to cut our spending. You know, if we cut the discretionary spending in the current fiscal year, that's how we can balance the budget. But what they don't realize is what makes up the budget. The largest four budget items, Number one, still number one, hadn't changed in quite a while. The Medicare, Medicaid component is, this is on an annual basis now. It's almost $1.5 trillion just for Medicare and Medicaid. And we've got more people coming into the system. Baby boomers, I believe, is the group that's the current winner in terms of the number of people. And I've forgotten the numbers. I want to say it's like 10,000 people. If it's not a day, it's a week. It's a bunch of people. But again, annual budget component, almost $1.5 trillion. Social Security is right close behind at nearly $1.4 trillion. And then defense, which, as we know, that's not slowing down anytime soon, although the Republicans did block another effort to fund Ukraine and Israel, because apparently we feel, or the Democrats and the administration feel compelled to defend the borders of Ukraine and Israel, etc., but they don't care to defend our southern border, and the Republicans would not consider passage until there were funds allocated, additional funds to plug the gaps along the southern border. But in any event, $831 billion is the amount of this year's budget dedicated to defense. And then the interest on the debt, as we mentioned, up through the current spot here we're at, $693 billion, but throughout the year it'll get up to the $1 trillion mark, and that is, again, it's pretty amazing. The U.S. gross domestic product is now at $27 trillion. It's a big number. It's not big enough. And by the way, the best way, if we could wave our magic wand, we could solve the entire deficit problem by getting our gross domestic product increased. And then, of course, that would generate additional tax revenue. The current U.S. tax revenue is sitting at $4.4 trillion. I'm not sure. I think by year's end, it'll be somewhere in the $5.5 to $6 trillion range. The revenue per citizen, that's a misnomer. That should be receipts per citizen. It's certainly not revenues. But the U.S. debt folks, they do a great job on this site, so we'll cut them a break on nomenclature. But the receipts per citizen works out to about $13,175. That's, again, per citizen, not per taxpayer. The pure income tax portion of those receipts is just over $2 trillion. Payroll tax revenue is just over... is that a billion? Yeah, that's $1.6 billion. And excise taxes are at the $84 million mark. You know, it's interesting. America is very much a charitable country at base, and the charitable donations year-to-date are sitting at just over $500 billion. That's $552 billion dollars. That's $2,133 per adult. That's a lot of money when you talk about funding projects, etc., for the needy. In any event, let's do this. Let's go ahead. We're right on the mark for taking our second break. Let's go ahead and do so. And we'll return with the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grind.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to just mention, for those of you that might be thinking, hey, I need to get out ahead of what's coming, which I'll tell you what's coming in a nutshell, and it's just math. And again, I'll direct your attention. If you don't want to hear it from me, I'll direct your attention to our BeAPlannerShow.com website. That's our companion website to BeAPlanner.com. And the video page, if you go there, will show you a video by Representative, it's a Republican from Arizona, Schweikert, who gives you the math. It's the same math I've given many times on the show, and essentially the math shows that we're running out of money at a record clip, and we can't get there by just cutting our spending, or as the Democrats would like to see, raising taxes. Those two things hardly move the needle at all. It's going to take policy changes. And Mr. Swiker, and by the way, that's not a long video. Take the time to go check that out. It's maybe, let's see, what is this thing? Is it, well, it might be 10 minutes if it's that long, but got some good charts. Unfortunately, you'll probably have to rewind and you know, play several pieces more than once because he moves those charts in and out. But, you know, the guy's got it nailed. I mean, he's absolutely correct. Taxes, everything is going to have to happen. They're going to have to try assorted issues. Tax rates are going to have to go up. Spending's going to have to go down. There's going to have to be some hard policy choices. Who qualifies for Social Security, maybe. There are topics that nobody wants to talk about, especially if you're currently a serving member of Congress. The way Congress works is they don't want to do anything that happens on their watch, unless it's spending more money. They don't seem to mind that they're driving the country off a cliff fiscally, but by gosh, don't mess with my Social Security. Don't mess with my Medicare. Don't not fund the next war, wherever that is. And so it's like, you know, let's move ahead, full speed ahead, without thinking about the fact that we've got to borrow the money to go do whatever it is on each of these discussions. And quit acting like, oh, well, we can finally make a decision to raise the rates a bit. Let me tell you something. Unless, and again, it's not Nathan Ross. If you don't like my message, go back or go Google Congressional Budget Office or CBO. That's all you need. Google CBO 2009 deficit study and look at what they said. This is the CBO now. This isn't some partisan hack, you know, Republican or Democrat saying that this is what the rates ought to be. The Congressional Budget Office back in 2009, when you only had a $9 or $10 trillion deficit, only being the operative word, and we were only about 60-65% of our outstanding debt to GDP ratio, we're twice that now. But back then, even then, with the lower levels of debt, they said the tax brackets, the tax rates would need to go up by 150%. The then 25% bracket, or I'm sorry, the then 10% bracket would need to go up to 25%. The 25% bracket at that time would need to go up to 63%, and the 39% bracket at that time would need to go up to 88%. Does that sound like a train you want to stand in the way of as it's coming down the tracks? Because that's going to be here by 2029 and 30 by hook or crook. It's just math. It's like Representative Swikert says, you have a math problem, essentially. And you can be Democrat, you can be Republican, and you can talk about these, we need to cut spending, or, oh, we just need to raise rates. Now, that's baloney. As he says, stop making crap up. That's his quote. I'll second it. You know, you've got to do something more substantive, and it's got to be a policy or policies that have to change. Now, what do you do? What are your choices as we sit here today? And you've got a few. One of the most obvious is you've got to get your pre-tax retirement buckets over to the Roth side of the house, okay? And a lot of folks may not realize it. Over the last, 5 years, there's been many, many of the large company 401k plans that have added a Roth component to their 401 plan so that you now can direct all or part of your 401k savings at your company's plan into the Roth side of the plan, subject to some limitations on participation, etc. But it's not based on income. It's unlike a Roth IRA. There are differences between, significant differences, in fact, between the Roth IRA and the Roth 401. Pleasant differences for the most part. And the beauty of the Roth 401 is it still is exempt from the tax that applies to IRAs if they're investing in the real estate private partnership arena that we focus on. Most of our clients come to us because maybe they've joined a real estate investor / mentor program, and they realize after they join it that in spite of what they're told when they're being wooed to join, There's not a whole lot of substantive information with respect to how do I pick the better syndications, the better partnerships. And, of course, since those groups also have the syndicators as their members, it's kind of a captive audience, they've got to be careful how good or bad they make certain deals appear, because they'll cannibalize or otherwise stunt the growth of the greater good, which is their good, their personal wealth, the guys and gals that run the platform. So if you want independent advice on how to analyze transactions, that's why you would turn to someone like us. It's pretty much all I do these days is review those transactions. It's not to say that we don't undertake tax planning, tax preparation. We certainly do. But more and more of my day-to-day is charged with reviewing transactions. And my sole focus is trying to help a client understand what they're signing up for. What they're signing up for cash flow-wise, this is pro forma. I don't have a magic ball. I'm an accountant. I'm not a magician. So I really can't see the future. But you know what? I can tell you when the rental growth rate being assumed and the projections that are being used to sell you the deal, I can tell you where it's out of sync, where it's not reflective of what the current market is. And it's not just rental rate or rental growth rates. It's average occupancy in a given city and or submarket, the average rental price, the size of the units, the number of units that are totally available in that market, the number of units that are absorbed over the last 12 months. Those are units that were empty that became occupied. We can explain how many units are under construction, how many units are proposed for construction. These are things that you may or may not get the true picture of, true portrayal from the syndicator. Remember, the syndicator needs to paint a picture that allows you to pull out your checkbook and stroke a check for $50,000 to $100,000. And again, you know, if you listen to the radio, you listen to these other platforms. In fact, I believe there's one on just after my show. You don't hear the bad news very often. You would think that every deal that comes through is a grand slam, and I'm just telling you, there are some grand slams. I'll be the first to stipulate, but in large measure, there are significant differences in the performances between syndicators, between geographical areas, between the build class, whether it's an A apartment building, Class B, Class C, etc. And the submarkets are all different. There may be high concessions going on in certain of the submarkets to get units occupied. We look at that info as well. We look at the information that you won't think about because you're still excited, all you type A's that have gone to the case studies and stroked the check to join. You're so excited, you just want to invest in something. And I guess, you know, let's slow down. You'll still be able to invest in something. The most of these platforms, these investor platforms, are like a train station. What's the expression? There's another one coming in 5 minutes, right? And so don't feel like today is the deadline in any event. If you hear that, I would scratch that syndicator off your list and let's look at some other transactions. But and moreover, I would be or I am willing to look at other sources for transactions than just the group, the platform, the club, whatever you want to call it, that you signed up for. And there are some significant benefits and significant deficiencies on almost any choice you have. But there's a couple of choices that you should just flat out avoid when it comes to joining these platforms. And some of these are right here on this station on both fronts. There's some that have value. There's others that are devoid of value. there's absolutely no value to a couple of the platforms that you hear talked about here on the air, unless you want to learn about things that are unrelated to your increasing your retirement wealth vis-a-vis real estate private partnerships. I mean, if you're more interested in nutrition, maybe how to romance your wife, I hear amazing topics covered on some of the, quote, real estate related platforms. And it's just, it's amazing to me how anyone will write a $20,000 plus check to have that content be delivered as for whatever reason, instead of how do I increase my NOI? Show me some knowledge on that front. That's something I'm willing to pay for. And by the way, NOI is net operating income. It's a real estate term that you'll learn is vital to understand if you get in to the multifamily investment arena. But in any event, so we talked just momentarily about Roth conversions. Let me explain why the concept of investing in real estate private partnerships goes hand in hand with Roth. Because if we invest our money after we've rolled over the current pre-tax funds into a Roth vehicle, primarily the Roth 401, which means we would have executed a solo K, or what I call a self-directed 401 trust, which means you would have qualified to do so. You've got to have some side gig or self-employment income, many ways of getting that today without going to work full-time. 100 hours a year is the safe harbor that we look for. And so if you've rolled your money over from pre-tax to a pre-tax solo K that has a Roth component, which is not all of them, but it's a lot of them, and we would tell you to, if you're going to work with us, let us make the suggestion on which group we use to do that. But in any event, then when we do the Roth conversion and we've invested our funds in these private partnerships, we get private company discounts. And I'm going to end the show with that comment. We'll be back on Sunday morning, 7 a.m., right here on KSEV, AM 700. And I will go into more detail about what a beautiful thing those private company discounts are in the world of Roth conversions. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you'll join us Sunday. If not, same time again next Friday.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We'll